Welcome to another edition of the Lakers Locker Room. I'm your host, Tajon Graham, and tonight is a very special night because if you don't know, it's the Athletics Banquet. So tonight, all athletes will be in the gym tonight to celebrate the 23-24 regular season. So I thought, what better way to have than a couple of guests, you know, kind of considers the winner's circle here today because we're all getting some awards tonight. So, you know, I got some very, very special guests. You know, these are two people who I've kind of got to know over the last couple of years over to my time at Nipissing. One for a long time, which we'll talk about first. But these guys are both all-stars. We got a first-team all-star. We got a second-team all-star. So, like I said, this is a winner's circle here. So, enjoy this episode. We got for the men's volleyball team, we got Trent O'Brien and Tyrus Kukulik. My guys, welcome to the podcast, man.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for taking time, man. But let's get right into it. So, we need to get something out of here, man. The elephant in the room. Tyrus. You're one of the few people in this school or in the athletics program that's been here longer than me.
Yeah, I've been here a while. It'll be 6 years at the end of the season.
So, and I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that, did you do a senior night this year? Like, what's going on?
I did my senior night last year because I was here for, obviously 5 years last year. I had a COVID year and then a redshirt year.
Okay.
So I still had a bunch of eligibility and I wasn't sure if I was going to come back for this season. I knew I was for school, but I wasn't sure if I was for volleyball. And I've been playing with like Josh and Jackson and Jared, Frank, Zach, all those guys for such a long time. So I thought it would be a pretty good night. Oh, and Tom. Can't leave out Tom. But I thought it would be a pretty good time to have my senior night last year just because it was like a good bulk of guys who I'd played with for like most of my time here.
Yeah.
I couldn't say no. I had to come back for one more year. Couldn't come to school and not play volleyball.
So, yeah, because when I saw you in the summertime, I'm like, bro, what are you doing here? for those who don't know, kind of talk about your situation because it was kind of crazy because you thought you were supposed to graduate and then all this stuff happened and you're back again. So kind of what happened with that in the summertime?
Yeah, so I thought I needed a couple more courses than I actually did. I did an academic audit a little later than I guess most students would. Found it out I only needed one or two courses. So I ended up coming back for just like a full... I did a second minor this year, so I just like... This year I did an HR.
Okay.
So I'll finish with like my BBA and then a marketing and HR minor.
Shout out, nice.
Yeah, which isn't bad.
Nice. Yeah, because I was I saw you in the summertime, I'm like, bro, why are you still here?
And I live here now. My girlfriend and I plan on living here for a bit.
But, oh my God. So kind of what's the plan after this? You stay in North Bay?
Staying here. Trying to find a full-time job. Lucky enough, our assistant coach, shout out my landscaper, nice. Owns his own business here. So he's been nice enough to offer me another job for the summer. So we'll see what goes down with that. There might be some more opportunities for some business stuff with his company. If not, I'm going to try to branch out and kind of find a full-time salary job at some point.
Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Trenton, man, there's a lot to talk with you, man. Like I said, you and one of my team, Alex, y'all from the other side of the world. So I want to kind of dive into your story. Kind of how did you end up at Nipissing? Kind of what's the story with that? Because I heard the story last year when your parents came. They came in the winter and they had to get a jacket. Your guys' coach was telling me about that. So kind of what's your story? How did you end up from Nipissing all the way from Australia?
So I playing back home, there's no varsity sports. So it's very much a North American thing. So I wanted to take my volleyball to the next level. And to do that, I'd have to travel, whether I wanted to go pro in Europe or come to North America and get a degree out of it, which is ultimately what I chose, obviously. So I think getting a degree out of it is very important because volleyball doesn't have the highest salaries. So to have a degree to fall back on once my career is done is super important to me. And I chose Canada over the States just because, I mean, not by distance, but if it's closer to home in culturally and way of life, Canada to Australia, than let's say America. So
yeah.
And to come to Nipissing, I had to reach out to a bunch of different coaches because we don't get scouted over there. It's we have to then put our name forward to then be scouted. So I reached out to a bunch of different coaches and I got a fair few responses, but I just ultimately Nipissing was the right fit for me in the end. So yeah.
Yeah, kind of what's your experience like? And now this is your second year here, right? So it's 2 years in now. Kind of what's been your experience like, you know, being here, being part of the team, meeting the guys? How has it been for you?
I was never really nervous coming here, which I was every time I say that to people, they're surprised because I'm literally going to the other side of the world.
Yeah.
But it's been really good. Honestly, the guys have become my family and the whole community of North Bay has really taken me under their wing. And it's he's the Aussies, whatever. I always get recognized through that. So Yeah, it's been pretty seamless, and I've really enjoyed it. And yeah, as I said, everyone's kind of taken me under their wing and helped me out in certain ways, especially the team. So yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah, for those who don't know, like I said, Trent's from Australia, and then we have someone on my team, Alex Blackmore, from New Zealand. So we always joke there's a little rivalry, but there's no rivalry there. But honestly, look, it's really hard to be away from home, just 3.5 hours away from Toronto. So I can only fathom being on the other side of the world.
Yeah, it'd be super tough.
It's tough.
Yeah,
like
it is tough. It's like the Christmas time in my family is like it's huge. So
yeah,
to not go home for Christmas is pretty tough. And it's also it's just changed with the daylight saving, but it's like 15.5 hour time difference for most of the year.
My gosh.
They're ahead. So there's only like a 2-3 hour block that I can call home, which makes it really tough when you know you're having a tough day or you want to talk about something with them, and yet but you have to wait until like 6 o'clock at night when they're but just before they go to work or whatnot. So it is tough, but it makes going home that much sweeter at the end of the year. And yeah, really looking forward to it in a couple of weeks time now. So yeah, it'll be good.
You guys, do you go home anytime soon, or okay, what's the plan?
Yeah, I go home after exams, and then I'll stay home until just before I need to be back here, and I'll come here. So I'm training with the national team back home. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to say no to that. Even like it can be expensive with flights, but to that opportunity to train with them is like you can't say no to that. It's
huge for our program too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because honestly, the volleyball team has definitely been one of our more successful programs here at Nipissing. Obviously, going back to 2013, you know, when you guys were CCAA winning a national championship, you know, shout out Coach Young, who's still here. So I think the good thing about this program, like, you guys have had a lot of opportunities to kind of go pro. You had a lot of successful stories to come out of pro. Yeah. So to be able to get the opportunity, I think, is really huge, yeah, like you
absolutely.
Talked about.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your season, but let's go back to the very beginning. Let's even go back to last year. So you guys obviously had a lot of people graduate and move on from your program.
Yeah.
So I've told people about this kind of this year. The vibe feels different in a sense. It feels like a turnover of a new leaf because obviously the COVID year happened. You saw a lot of people the following year, the 21-22 season, come back for a sixth year. You had a lot of people do Teachers College up until last year. So I felt like there's a really larger, older group after this year or after last year. This year was kind of like a reset. You saw like a lot of teams had a lot of younger people, a lot of 18-year-olds, things like that. I'll start with you, Tyrus. Obviously someone who's been here for a long time. What was it like kind of integrating all the new guys to the team this year? Because you guys are going from a super veteran team for the last 3-4 years of a pretty solid core, and then you guys kind of have to start over in a sense. So kind of what was that transition like for you?
Yeah, it was definitely tough for me at the beginning, just because like I was used to just being one of the like average guys on the team who it was like, you know, I'm the same age as everybody else, same year. We've been together for the same amount of time. And we all kind of like had an idea of how the team was like, ran and what needed to be done for us to have a successful season and everything. So losing them, like we lost a lot of big leaders at the same time, and that was something that we really struggled with at the start of the season. I think it was a little evident in kind of how the beginning of our season played out for us. But we got lucky. We have a really good young core. Like our second year guys are super motivated and super driven. The young guys coming in, obviously, like shout out to Jack and JJ for their all-rookie team selection.
Shout out.
They're going to have super bright futures. Like, our team's looking really nice, and there's some pretty good personalities that mesh pretty well. So I think moving forward, like, we've got a really good, like, a young group of leaders already with, like, 3 captains who are all returning. So I think this, like, moving forward will be good. But, yeah, it was definitely a little tough to start just coming in and having to, like, get these young guys who aren't really used to
acclimated.
Jump, right? They're not used to it yet. So kind of getting them on board with what needs to be done and the kind of sacrifices you have to make throughout the season to stay at the varsity level. But I think we did a pretty good job at figuring out what we had to do and ended the season pretty successfully.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Trent, obviously last year you had a very successful year. Obviously, you know, you were the school's male rookie of the year. You know, going to your second year, do you feel like because there are so many new younger guys coming, like it's crazy to say that you're kind of a vet after your first year, but
yeah,
that's the reality situation. Did you feel like you had to take a leadership role just going to your second year just because of the situation that Tyrus alluded to in terms of having a lot of young guys come in?
Yeah, I felt like I wouldn't say I felt like I had to, but I was definitely looking for, I wanted to take a leadership role.
Okay.
I'm like, as much as I am a second year, I've transferred from university back home. Like, I just did a year back there, so I'm older. I'm a year older than all the second year guys, so I feel like I am a second year, but I'm like the fifth oldest guy on the team, so I'm
which is crazy.
I'm a vet. But yeah, like I think the the leadership role was tough to start with, especially like knowing my place in the team and knowing where what to say when. And I've never been a captain before, so having to be a captain with like, we had four captains this year. All four of us were new to the role, so we. At the start, it was finding our feet on what to say, when to say it. But it was, I think we really got the hang of it towards the end. And like, as Tyra said, it's our record shows. We struggled early and then came home strong and had a playoff berth. So that was, yeah, it was good.
You know, on the first episode of the season five, you know, I had my teammate Darnes Mabonta, and we definitely talked about the kind of leadership because he was in his second year and he was talking about being in that role for the first time. So I'll ask you the same question I asked him. What was the biggest lesson that you learned, you know, in terms of being a leader? Because not easy, especially when you're young and kind of like that. But what was your process for you in terms of growing into that space? Like you said, you wanted to, but it's not easy. You're still young. Yeah. Like, what was the biggest lesson you learned throughout the season, how to be a leader?
I'd say the biggest thing I learned was when to speak. Usually, like, I'd know what to say and, like, how I needed to say it. But it was times where I needed to be quiet and let coach speak and let him do his thing. Where like I would want to speak up and he'd go, let me handle this. Or times where I should have spoken up and I didn't. I think learning the when was really important for me, especially with such a young group of guys. Like looking back at, you know, we lost Jackson, who was arguably one of the best players in the league, and you know he's now doing great in the Bundesliga. So he's killing it. Yeah, absolutely. So losing him, he had the drive to push everyone to be better. So I was trying to find a balance between, you know, what I could bring and what my previous captains had done. So yeah, I'd say that was my biggest learning experience.
You know, one thing that obviously I think helped for, I guess, both of our teams is that for Pilsen, all of us, both the men's basketball and men's volleyball, we had the chance to go to Portugal for a week. So that was obviously a great opportunity for us. You know, I talked a bit about it briefly, like it was great for our team. Like we had a great time, but let's start with you guys in terms of, what was it like? I'll start with you, Tyrus. Kind of, what was the experience like going to Portugal? Because I'd never been to Europe, so to be able to go with the team, I think was pretty cool. So, what was your experience Europe?
That was my second time going
on
an international trip with the team.
Okay,
so we went to Amsterdam.
Oh yes, I did hear about this
before COVID started.
I did hear about this, yeah.
And that was a pretty fun trip. It was just like the different playing a different style, but like seeing how volleyball is played in Europe compared to how it's played in Canada, and like the fans and how much more involved they are over there, like. We played in the gold medal match against Humber, and there was the stadium was filled with everybody else who finished the tournament already. So like going internationally is fun, and then Portugal, like we had a blast. The volleyball, like as we said, we struggled to start the season, so yeah. We might not have been as successful as we might have wanted. But it was a great learning experience for us, and it definitely we spent so much time together. Probably more time than we might have wanted as teams, but there might have been some really long bus rides in between in between games and in between activities. But I think both teams made the best of it. We had a great time. We had a great time going with you guys. Both teams meshed pretty well, and it was a really fun experience. I had a great time. Lisbon was beautiful.
Yeah.
Spain was beautiful.
Oh, Spain was awesome.
It was a gorgeous country. It was super fun. I'd love to go back again one day.
Yeah. For sure. I think it highlighted it for us. How far we need to go for us, especially like I'd say our preseason was.
Yeah, it was a big eye opener.
Yeah, our preseason was pretty terrible, to be honest. We got a lot better quickly, thankfully. But it also, I think it massively helped our team bond as a unit. We meshed, like we all got a lot closer because of the trip and the hours we spent together and the things we did and shared experiences. So.
Yeah, because that was one thing I want to say, that like the year prior, like last year, we had kind of a divide in like team, like cliques almost.
We had the exact same thing.
Like the first and second years who had just come in, who were kind of just like doing their own things.
We had that too.
So like having this Portugal trip and spending all this time together as a team, like we ate lunches together, we ate all our meals, like... in a hotel with a couple of guys for the week and a half or whatever it was. Like,
yeah,
you got to know your teammates pretty well, and it was really good for getting all the guys on board and kind of not like mixed well.
Yeah,
it was nice.
Yeah, honestly, I can touch that too, because even last year, like we had the same issue, not with the first and second year, but the clickiness. You know, we had a team. Obviously, you know him, Noah Lapierre. Yeah, obviously, you guys are both from suburbs, so he went to Brock, and I can't remember who, but someone asked him last year, was like, you know, kind of what's the difference between Brock and Nipperson, like the locker room? And he was like, yeah, he was straight up like, this is kind of more clicky here.
Yeah, and yeah. He was boys with a lot of the guys on the team back at Brock. Like, I remember him telling me stories and stuff. Like,
yeah,
good friends with all of them.
Yeah, so I can only imagine because he's only here for a year. But like when he said that, I was like, damn, like I didn't. And when I look back at now from last year compared to this year, like I can see what he's saying because it kind of was clicky. So it's kind of crazy that you guys went through the same thing.
Yeah, I think every varsity team kind of does when you've got that divide in ages between your like senior players and your first and second years.
Yeah, so I can even ask you about that too. Kind of like, was there a challenge for you in terms of kind of connecting? Because like I said, you're about to be 25, right? Yeah. At the time it's recording. But like, you know, there's a lot of guys who are straight out of high school. Like, think about it. Like, you're 99, I'm 2000. Which one, what year are you born?
I'm 03.
Yeah, so imagine even 99. There's some guys on your team who are 05,
yeah.
Right? Like a big age guy. Like Jordan's our oldest guy on our team. He's 98. He's 6'10", 25, girlfriend for 8 years. And you have one of our teammates, Gavin, who's 05, coming straight out of high school. Like, so for you, kind of, was there any, I guess, issue or not issue, I would say, was there a challenge in kind of connecting with the younger guys? Because in fact, there's such a big age gap, and even just life experiences.
It wasn't a crazy challenge. Our men's program, as long as I've been here, has always been super welcoming to new athletes, and especially like when we have recruits up. Like a lot of times when recruits sign, it's like, you know, you guys were one of the nicer teams when we came and visited, and I really liked the way that your team bonds together. So it's never really been a problem for me anyways, getting to meet and getting to like understand and know my new teammates. So I didn't really have a huge problem with it this year. There's a couple guys who, like Jack Svensson, one of them was kind of a hard guy to read. Super quiet.
He is very quiet.
Sticks to himself in practice, just does his thing, dishes the ball out, and kind of doesn't really say anything. So reading him is kind of challenging sometimes, but they're all good guys. Like I loved all the rookies. Like it was a pretty good group.
Yeah, we were there for a week. Just either guy can answer this question. Was there a specific memory that like sticks out your mind? I said, man, I'll definitely remember that. Like, cause like we did a lot that week. Just was there anyone that you can say on the podcast?
I think Lisbon for me. Seeing Lisbon, like that hour we spent in Lisbon, and then going to the Benfica Stadium. Yeah,
that was sick.
That was like that was really really cool.
That was cool.
I hate soccer. I'm not a soccer guy. I thought I was gonna hate it, but that was probably one of the coolest things of the
trip. It was sick.
Like, it was super cool to see how passionate they were about their local professional team, and then seeing the two or three live Eagles there.
That was cool. The guys see the locker room.
And then hearing stories about how they're like. Number one rivals, Porto, have like their own section to sit in because it gets too violent if they sit anywhere else. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Super cool experience.
Yeah. What about you, Trey? Like, is there anything that sticks in your mind that's like, wow, like you'll definitely not forget?
It'd be the Benfica Stadium. Like, that it was amazing. And like, they're a world-class club. Like, they've won Champions League. So I don't know, it was a while ago. But they're up there with one of the biggest clubs in the world. So to go behind the scenes in a place like that. And we sat in their locker room and saw, like, Di Maria, who, you know, just won the World Cup with Messi. And to see where they get changed and do all that sort of stuff is, like, it was amazing. It was really, really cool.
Super cool. Nah, for sure. Can we also talk about the food? Like, I talked about this on two or three episodes ago. How cheap the food was beyond me. Like, can we talk about that?
How cheap everything was.
Yo, it's so much cheaper.
I'd say you can get, like, a burger and fries for $3.
Even, like, anything. Like, Ubers were $4. There's like...
You guys Ubered?
Because there was a couple times where Coach was like, all right, you're walking back from the cafe, like, the lunch cafe.
Yeah.
School there or whatever.
Yeah, it was hot, by the way. It was hot.
That's what I mean. There's a couple of days where it's like, all right, I'm walking. I've done half this trip with a shirt off. I'm sweating. Like, I'm going to call an Uber. And it was, like, €4 for an Uber, like, anywhere in the city. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was cheap, very very cheap. Yeah,
definitely helped them with the wallet for sure. Yeah.
I didn't even know there was an Uber. Like, what was it called over there? Like,
I'm pretty sure it was just Uber. Straight up Uber.
Yeah,
because it's crazy. Because like I went to like. It's crazy when you think about it, because the McDonald's was different, the Burger King was different, and people were thinking, yo, why are you going to Europe and having McDonald's and Burger King? Like, listen.
Nah, it's different stuff for sure.
It's different stuff, but remember, too, people think it's crazy, but listen, where our hotel was, because men's volleyball and men's basketball, for those who don't know, we stayed in different hotels, but where our hotel was, literally 2 feet away was a McDonald's and a Burger King.
Yeah, we had a mall, a 2 minute walk across the street from our hotel.
Yeah, that was like a 10 minute, the same mall from us was a 10 minute walk, but like the point is like, yo, like the food was there, like we had something to eat, but it's crazy because there's less grease, way cheaper, and a lot of things that there's there in Europe is not here in North America, but like,
and their ice cream machines were always working.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's the same back home, like the the Maccas and the, we don't even call it Burger King, we call it Hungry Jack's. It's the same thing, but it's, yeah, we call it Hungry Jack's. It's all like, it's a different menu, and like I'd say the fast food back home is so much better than it is here.
Probably better for you too. Probably.
Oh no, no, so nutritional wise, no, 100%. I think, like I said, the grease is like what did it for me, because like, yeah, you can have a burger and it's like, usually sometimes you have a burger from, like, say Burger King or you know, Wendy's or whatever, and I think the greasy and stuff like that. Yeah. You go over there, ain't not much grease. Like, it's straight, yeah, like straight burger. Yeah, man. So, man, I had a great time. Y'all certainly had a great time, man. Obviously, definitely would love to go to Europe again someday. It was crazy for me too, because I had to check that off the bucket list. Yeah. You know, before 25, I'm 23, and I got to go to Europe at 23. I think, yeah, that's,
it was, yeah, awesome. Super, really super cool experience.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like what you've been hearing so far? Make sure to follow us on IG at Lakers Locker Room and subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're at it, where you can find clips of all our episodes and video content associated with the podcast. Part 2 of the Lakers Locker Room starts now. You know, talking about the, going back to talking about the season, obviously you guys alluded to it early, you know, you guys obviously got to a pretty tough start, but then you guys were able to turn around and eventually, you know, get a postseason berth. I'll start with you, Tyrus. Kind of talk a bit about kind of the early kind of struggles and kind of what, was there a game or a moment that things really started to turn around for you guys? Like, talk about that.
Honestly, I think the beginning was just kind of like, we struggled to know how to play with each other. Like, the team in previous years, like I said, had been together for like 3 years, so we, yeah, kind of knew how to play and mix, like, and play with each other. So just like learning, like, we had a brand new setter because, like, our third year setter, Skibbs, partially tore his ACL or something like that in his knee.
Yeah.
So he was out for the whole season. So Jack had to come in as a rookie, and like, it's never easy. So just like, kind of like learning his style, how he plays, and how the other guys kind of play, and then learning how to speak to them on the court to kind of get them and keep them motivated. That was like the early problems, but then once kind of guys started buying in and we, like, our leaders started to figure out how to approach the guys, things started to click. And then I want to say, like, a big game for us was
Guelph. I'd say it was round one.
Yeah, we actually played surprisingly well at Guelph. Like, I think our hopes as a team were kind of not looking great, and then I think we surprised us, especially the league, a lot of people. We took them to four both days, and yeah, like, played very competitive volleyball.
But Guelph's now in going to nationals, so like they're a good team. So,
But I want to say, like, a big one where I felt like a big momentum change was, for me, and it was a little later in the season, more halfway through, but U of T.
Hmm.
We played them at home, or at U of T, sorry.
Yep.
And we didn't play our best ball on the Friday night, and we got 3-0'd. And then the boys kind of took it a little personal, and we were like, we're better than this. Like, we know we can be better volleyball players and play better ball. And we came out the Saturday and beat Toronto 3-0, worse than they beat us, and ended up winning the split of the weekend.
Wow.
So that was, like, that was kind of nice to, like, see how the guys can rally back, and then
It was the first time in program history we've won there, right? Or, like, we've won in three there or something. Yeah. Like, it was a milestone.
It was a good, really, yeah, really good, yeah, match for us.
Yeah, what was the conversation like after that game? Was it like, obviously, no expletives obviously, but like, people are cursing and people are throwing stuff. Like, what was the conversation like to, like, really get you guys going? So, you know what, like, F bleep this, like, we're going to, you know. Like,
I'd say we're all just like, we were in it, like, it was a pretty relatively close match, I want to say. Like, we didn't get blown out. The sets, they won, I think, by two every set. So, yeah, so it was like
little things. Yeah, little
we had bad errors at bad times,
yeah,
which then cost us sets and cost us the game. So I think we're all just a little disappointed ourselves. And then, you know, Coach had a chat and expressed his disappointment as well. And, like, we all knew we could be better. And I think we all, like, took it to heart, and really came back and wanted to prove ourselves. I think was more important. We'd copped some slander on some social media as well from some pages. So I think it all kind of, it was a storm brewing for us to,
like, what were they saying?
Game. Oh, so there's
just like, yeah,
a few pages online just making memes, and they were saying,
oh, about your guys' team.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, yeah, you got to give them credit. It was a good meme.
Nothing was said. We were like, obviously it sucks to have that happen, but we weren't like super upset about it. But it was like nipping with Jackson Young, and then without him, and it was like two.
Oh, I think I did see that.
Like, that was a good meme, man. Yeah. Like, it was funny, but like, definitely.
But as competitors,
fueled a little bit.
Yeah. As competitors, you're like, yo, like, we're more than one person. Like, come on.
Exactly.
It's one guy.
And I think he said he's congrats to Jackson Young for single-handedly taking the talent away from Nipissing.
Yeah, it was something like that. Four. So, but,
yeah.
Once we got going, like, it was definitely, like, stuff like that, and then just, like, nobody really much of us.
We have a bunch of rookies and young guys, like, it's a young team, but it's not only that, like, our starting lineup from last year, we lost five guys from our starting lineup, and so we had three rookies playing, and then one fifth year in Tyrus, and then a couple second years. So really, we hadn't played together at all. Like, there wasn't as though we had a couple guys in second or third year that had played together. Like, we were a completely fresh team. So I think it took that time for us to...
We needed to gain some experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, was there any of the rookies in particular that you noticed that their kind of confidence or play kind of grew throughout the season, like, in particular?
I would say Ben's. Like, Ben, honestly, all of them kind of grew throughout the season. Like, they all got really, really good.
Yeah. Ben played in our playoff match against McMaster and almost hit, like, a perfect game. Yeah. So.
And then you had JJ, who led our team offensively this year. Like, he had the most kills. I'm pretty sure he was up there, aside from Trent, for highest hitting percentage on the team. Like, he had a great season offensively. And then Jack, obviously, was leading the league.
He was leading the country in assists.
Really?
At the Christmas break.
The halfway
break. Yeah. So, like... Yeah, they didn't really lack any confidence in coming in, and JJ always had this thing where he didn't give a crap about what was going on. He was just going to go out there and bang balls, and kind of stuck to it the whole year. And I would say, like, I saw Jack become a little more vocal with us and kind of...
Yeah,
really?
And, like, vocalize his frustrations during matches.
Which was good.
Yeah, which was nice. We needed it because he was super quiet, right? So right. It was nice to kind of see him show some emotion and kind of dig into us for not... executing plays or maybe not making the best decision.
Yeah. And I think you guys can attest to this too. Like, when a quiet guy on your team starts to talk, it hits different.
Yeah. It does.
It's like, okay, I gotta turn up now. Sorry. If he's saying something, like, something's gotta change quick.
Yeah. It's like myself, Tyrus, and Scoot, like three of our older guys, are very loud and talk a lot and vocal. And so I kind of just...
throw Mark and Jude in there too.
Yeah, Mark and Jude as well, of course. But, like... it starts to get repetitive, and it's like, okay, Trent and Tyrus are talking again. Like, Jack will step up and say something, and everyone goes, oh, okay.
Like, fair enough. Yeah.
Exactly.
We got a couple of guys who are pretty good, like the quiet ones, who, like, always, like, every now and again will step up and say something, and guys are like, okay, like,
yeah.
Let's kind of pick our shit up here. So,
yeah, it's okay. No, but we went through the same thing with our team just because, like, our coach was always talking about it can't always be me, like, saying stuff, right? And obviously, we had two great captains, you know, with Jack and Arnez, but, like, I think once other guys started pitching, you know, I think kind of made the difference. Like, I talked about, you guys had a quiet guy, you know, we had a guy on our team, Alvin, who's not very boisterous, doesn't really talk a lot, but sometimes when he talks, like, people kind of listen, right? So I think it's really about creating that culture of this accountability, and, like, I think all the two, making sure that everyone can have a voice. You know, a lot of times, I think probably in the early years, or maybe even, like, as recent as, like, maybe a decade ago, you feel like in sports culture, is a lot like, okay, the vets talk, rookies don't say anything, do what you're told and move on. I feel like over these last maybe 4 or 5 years, or definitely since I've been at university, I feel like that vibe has kind of changed in terms of, okay, like, vets, yes, should stay sub because obviously they've been in the longest, but rookies can stay sub too if it has value and it makes sense, right? You can't just say anything.
So
we, No, our team's pretty good at that. Like,
well, it's like if we're all going to be on the court, like, there was games this year where every single one of our players touched the court. So as soon as you're on the court, doesn't matter how old you are, you all have equal say. Kind of thing.
Yeah, that was another thing. Like, near the end of the season, once we started picking things up, like, we had a game where we had a weekend where everybody got into play at least a couple points.
Really?
16, I think it was like 15 or 16 players touched the court.
Wow.
One game we had like 11 guys score points. So it was like, it was cool to see. We had a lot of guys kind of step up, and all the rookies kind of did their part and had pretty good seasons. Like, I can't really complain about anything.
Yeah, you know, going to the playoffs, obviously, first of all, I got to ask you guys before we talk about that, is this a new thing that the league's doing this year with these playing situations? Like, I feel like we're the NBA, I feel like we're the NBA now, like, trying to do these damn playing, because hockey do the same thing, like, whoa.
I think it is too, because I don't remember a playing game being played up until this after was the first COVID. No, because the girls team played in one a year or two ago.
Last year they didn't do it for the men's side, but I mean, I'm glad they did
this. I was about to say, hell, it worked out for you guys. I was about to say, what? Yeah. Yeah, y'all should be mad, but... Yeah,
needed that extra game.
Yeah, but let's talk about it, though, right? Because obviously you guys went to Waterloo, obviously a hostile environment, you know. I was actually able to catch you guys' game on live stream. Yeah. You guys took them to 5 sets. I'll start with you, Trent. Just talk a bit about that game, like kind of what was going through you guys' head, like obviously being in that environment, you know, yeah. 5 sets, you know, to win it, to make it in. Like, what was that whole experience like?
It was... It's always a lot of fun to play in high-pressure scenarios like that. But for us, we'd had, I think, throughout the match, we won the first 2 sets, and I think we won them pretty convincingly too. Like, I think we won one of them 20-25 and 22-25. So we're on top. So they came back in the third and the fourth, and we've had a pretty terrible record of 5 setters this year. I think we were, before this playoff, we were 0-5.
Oh, dang.
We've lost five setters in a row. So,
y'all not clutch then.
Well, you're not wrong. So it was...
Calling the speed.
So, yeah, we're coming into it a bit, the fifth set. I think we all kind of went in with the... Well, at least I did. Tyrus can speak on how he felt as well, but coming to that fifth set, it was, we have nothing to lose right now. Like, we don't really have a right to be here in a way. Like, we've come from ninth seed with a considerably worse record than Waterloo.
Yeah, what was your guys' record again?
7-13.
7-13, and theirs was 10-10.
I believe. So, 3 games, okay.
Yeah, so there, and like, we've pretty much been, like, every team's thought of us as walkovers all year. So, we're going in with nothing to lose. And
Which is a scary thing for it. If you play a team
with nothing to lose.
Yeah. That happened this past weekend for other times recording with basketball. Like, Laval was the host.
Yeah, that's what Trent was saying on the way
six,
up.
6-10, didn't win their conference, got the host base. Now it's this whole spectacle, and they beat every single conference champion. They beat the Canada West champion, who was number one seed. They beat the AU West champion, and they beat the OUA champion to win it.
Yeah, now they beat Queens in the finals. Right?
They beat UVic first, won the Canada West. They beat Dallas second round or semis, who was AU West, and they beat Queens.
That's awesome.
Top 2. So they literally beat every single conference championship to win it all. That's great. And they're 6-10. So, hey, man, when you have nothing to lose, man, that's a scary sight, man.
Exactly. So, yeah, when we managed to pull it through, and then, it was amazing. It's my first time. Like, it's not really a playoff win, but it's as close as we've had in program history. And it's the closest I've ever had to a playoff win. I played a few playoffs back home and never won one. So it was a really good feeling to finally get a win. And yeah, then we went to Mac, and unfortunately they were just the better team at the end of the day. But yeah, it was really fun, that Waterloo game. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, what about for you, Mac? Because this ain't your first rodeo.
It was a little different for me. I was not playing great that game, and my body language was definitely not helping the team. Yeah. So I ended up getting pulled, but great decision. Mark came in and played great, and then Tayden came in and played great.
Shout out.
Shout out to our other left sides. But yeah, I was definitely a little nervous, because like, as much confidence as I had in our team, like, we've been to 5 against Waterloo, actually our first game without Jackson in the lineup when he was on our team.
Yeah.
Our first win without him was against Waterloo in a 5-setter, where we were behind like considerably in the fourth or the fifth set. I think it was like 14-9 or something like that last year when we came back. So
yeah.
Like, I knew we'd been there, we were gonna do it, I knew we were, but like, obviously my last year, like, there's that little bit inside of me, as much as I don't want to think about it, that's like, dang, this could be it. This could be your last game.
I sympathize, though.
So, like, I was super, super engaged on the bench. Like, I was going pretty nuts for the boys. And then once we won, it was super nice. It was super nice to know that, you know, I have one more game of volleyball left. Like, it's not over yet.
Yeah.
So I definitely owe it to the boys out on the court who gave it their all and ended up coming out on top.
You know, what would you say was the biggest lesson that you guys as a team kind of learned throughout the year, right? Obviously, you know, it was really a tale of two seasons. Like you said, you guys struggled first, started winning near the end, and you guys made it to the playoffs. Obviously, lost to a tough Mac team. I know for volleyball, Mac's been near the top, you know, these last few years.
Since they were Queens.
Yeah. 9 or 10 so,
years. Yeah. It's been like since 2004, it's been Mac and Queens winning anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, what would you say was the biggest lesson you guys as a team kind of learned?
I'd say... Like
on the volleyball court, I want to say decision making.
Yeah, and we built emphasis. a lot of callus. Yeah.
Building was our big team thing.
Yeah, so we built a lot. We've been through the hard times. You know, as we said, we lost a lot of 5-set matches, which we lost. I think it was something ridiculous. Like 60% of our sets were within 3 points. We'd lost. So we were really close all the time and just not getting it done. So I think we learned, we just had to learn how to win. I think towards the end we did.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's crazy when you have two tails of two seasons, but I think there's a lot to learn from it. Sometimes you learn more through the losses than the wins. 100%. Right? So like, even though you guys didn't end up winning the whole thing, and you guys obviously, you know, it is, we didn't even make the playoffs. So, hey, it's, so I, y'all better than us in this state. But honestly, I think you guys took a lot from it. You guys had a great run. You guys had a great season. You know, especially with the team you guys had, obviously a lot of guys coming back. So it's very promising.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Like, we've got two seniors graduating and a few players, unfortunately, moving on to different places. But yeah, most of our core group is going to be on the court next year. So it's exciting.
Yeah, so obviously because of that, you know, just riding, kind of winding down this podcast to end on a couple of things. Obviously, like I said at the beginning, we all winners, you know, tonight at the banquet, you know. You know, congratulations to my boy. Congratulations to my boy Trent, you know, first team all-star. My boy Tyrus, second team. Yours truly wins the second Ken Shields Award. So very, very thankful. That's number four for me, which is overall, which is crazy. Kind of, how do you guys feel, man? Like I said, I'm joking about it as a winner's table, but hey, man, it really is, because I don't think people realize how much work goes into getting these type of accolades, right? These are not accolades that are easily won. And the fact that, you know, all three of us have a chance to get honored tonight is going to be huge. So I'll start with you, Trey. Like I said, you came from Mel, you know, rookie of the year, took that step for us. So kind of, how you feeling, man? Like
obviously, I'm super grateful for having, just for being recognized. It's an honor to have it, but it's, how do I put this? I'm super grateful, but I'm not happy with it yet. Like, I'm not content. Like, I want to strive for more. I want to be like, I know I have so much more to give in my next 2 years here. So it's just a step on my way to where I want to be. Like, I want to be the best. And then second, not be close. So I got a fair way to go for that yet, but it's definitely an honor to be recognized like this.
You're definitely on the right track, that's for sure. Thank you. First 2 years, like I said, male rookie of the year, first team also. You definitely on the right track, man. So keep going, man.
Thank you.
And what about you, man? Like I said, we both in the same boat. Like, it's our last years, but hey, we get to go out with some awards and some accolades, man. So how do you feel, man?
It's kind of the same thing as Trent. Like, it's super nice to be recognized. It's my second one, I guess, in the 5 years I've been playing.
That's huge.
So it's kind of nice. It's nice to finish the year and kind of retire with an award. But I mean, at the same time, like, I'd give it up in a heartbeat for a couple playoff wins and a berth at Nationals. But definitely super nice. Obviously, couldn't be done without the teammates and coach and everything. And
For sure.
But yeah, super, super nice way to end it all.
Yeah, like I said, it's been a blessing. You know, it's like, for me personally, obviously, you know, winning 4-way awards in 3 years is crazy.
It's
crazy. Like, to think about, you know, especially, I always talk about, you know, being the first black student athlete to have a band in the gym is crazy. You know, I always joke, I said, Jackson got three, so I only got two. But hey, man, like I said, just the representation is huge. So like I said, I want to say thank you to everyone who's been a part of it. I know for all you guys, can speak for you guys too. You know, it's not easy getting these awards. A lot of work goes into, you know, coaches, people support, family, all that. So thank you for all of people who support all three of us. Like I said, it's huge to get these accolades. But final question, like I said, it's really for you, Tyrus. Like I said, we both in the same boat. You know, kind of our time at Nipissing is coming to an end. You know, I've been here for five. You've been here for six. But kind of, what's the biggest thing you will take away from your experience as a student athlete? And kind of, what advice would you give for any incoming student athletes on how to really enjoy the life of a student athlete? To round out this episode.
This is actually a pretty good question for me, I guess, because I was kind of the lazy student athlete for a very long time. So my biggest takeaway for first years and for athletes who are thinking of playing post-secondary, especially U Sport, put in the work. Don't cheat workouts. Don't cheat your teammates. It took me a little bit to figure it out, but you know, I finally did. At some point, and I had a pretty I figured it out this year, and I had a pretty successful season, obviously capped off with some recognition and some hardware, but yeah, definitely get working out now, stick to it, and don't be that lazy guy who thinks you can just rely on natural talent, because you can't at this level.
Nah, for sure. And then I guess Trent, obviously you're coming back for a couple more years. So kind of, what's the goal for next year? Kind of personally as a team, like what's next for you?
Always
first round playoff win.
A playoff win.
Hey, man, OUA championship, man.
Always gonna be
gotta win first round.
That's true, baby steps. You're right.
Yeah, so we've never as a program had a playoff win, so that's always gonna be number one priority. And like, for obviously team base, and you know, obviously you wanna go on and win that chip, so. But personally, I'd like to hopefully continue and have another first team recognition. So I don't want to peak too early. So I want to want to keep this going. So yeah.
Hey, I will say though, you definitely defied the sophomore slump. You definitely beat that stigma. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but like
I've never heard of that.
So yeah, there's like a stigma basically where it says when people who do so well after the first year, they kind of like slide and kind of digress their sophomore year. So it's happened in multiple sports and multiple levels. So you definitely happens even the pros. Like, there's such a sophomore slump. You know, Raptors Scottie Barnes. Yep. They talked about it last year. He went through the sophomore slump. So you beat it.
Thank you.
You beat it. You did better. So congratulations, man. Congratulations, like all three of us. Congratulations, and for all those getting awards tonight at the Athletic Banquet. Congratulations on your awards and all the athletes, man. Another great season, 23-24. You know, me and Tyrus is last, but hey, man, Trent, you got more. So, like I said, congratulations to everyone getting awards. And with that said, that is a wrap on another edition of the Lakers Locker Room Winners Table Edition. Gotta thank my guys, Trent O'Brien and Tyrus Kugler, for joining us. You can find the video version on YouTube and listen to full interview on all podcasting platforms. Peace.